Hello, my name is Peter Cinnamond, and you're very welcome to this, a podcast all about the Irish League. What other league cancels games due to weather in August and has relegation six-pointers four games in? Well, a league which has an established top six who are feeling pretty hot right now, even if Storm Betty almost dampened the Blues' start to the season in Ballymena. Cliftonville, well, they're yet to concede so far. They were yet to score after 45 minutes until this weekend. What is gonna give when these two behemoths clash this week in a battle of the teams who still have a 100% record so far? We're going to be deep diving into that, plus the two teams with a 0% record so far. Well, they're starting to panic their fans ever so slightly. Is this merely a bumpy patch, or are there relegation threatening rain clouds gathering on every single step of their path to May 2024? They're the big talking points. We're going to chat about them on this week's edition of Kicking Match. Four games. That is the most amount of games any team in this league has played so far. Most teams haven't got a filled docket, but with their 38 games to be played in total, there's a whole lot of roads still in front of us. But my goodness, has there already been impactful results, storylines developing, worrying or great patterns emerging for some teams? And I, as I usually do each week, want to talk about it. So with that being said, I've brought in a triple threat just for you. I've brought back my summertime boys. I know when you're looking out there, the sun is fading, the nights are getting darker, all that nice weather is starting to wither away. But before you have to boot the barbecue into the shed for 9 months, let's just remember all the good times we've had over the 3 days of summer that we had. Welcoming back to the podcast, proudly in the Reds corner, it is great to welcome back the rather dazzling Joe McCallion. How are you?
I'm doing well, as you'd expect from a Red man.
And in the other corner, in the blue corner, very happy, very smug, feeling good about himself, it is the dashing Ross Welsh.
Good to be back, Peter.
I hope it's good to be back. I gave you guys a shout after the weekend and I was like, we have stuff to talk about, and we absolutely do. First course of action, a lot of Red fans have been loving life. Gym World is a place they want to live in forever. Zero goals conceded, even though everyone was panicking about the defence. They didn't even need Joe Gormley to score four this weekend. It must be exciting. It must be thrilling. Can't last. Who cares? Right now, Cliftonville is a roller coaster that everybody is side-eyeing and feeling very jazzed that they're not on. How's your experience on this Big Dipper right now, Mr. McCallion?
I'm loving it. My hands are in the air. I'm absolutely loving it so far. It's been a start to the season that I don't think any of us expected. Obviously, that whole way through pre-season, I mean, I was on this podcast myself. You're going to see a massive backtrack from me today because I was I was negative last time I was on, as was almost everyone else talking about it. But it's been a great start to the season so far.
What is it about this team so far? It is only three games, so let's not get too ahead of ourselves. But zero goals conceded, blitzing teams from the start. Is there some sort of tactical wizardry that's going on? Or is Jim and Jared going, go and enjoy yourself, lads? Where is this total football coming from?
Yeah, do you know what it is? Like, not to be cliche with it, but we're doing the simple stuff right. Like, we're doing our triangles, our 1-2s. We're not afraid to go back when we need to. Like, there just seems to be a confidence around the whole team that no goals conceded so far is, obviously, it's a great start. No offence to who we've played so far, but I think that is slightly down the opposition. It does sort of paint the picture that when you do watch our matches, there was a few times we could have conceded, but I mean, that's really nitpicking. It was a problem last season for us, our defending, and this season it looks like we really have sorted it out. It's a lot better. Scoring goals wasn't really, obviously, that much of an issue. The score as many as we have so far is absolutely incredible, especially, as you say, without Joe last week.
One of the people that are scoring these goals and is making a name for themselves, he's got absolutely gorgeous hair. This Ben Wilson fella, I'm getting a bit infatuated. A gazelle. He looks like he's barely running at all, and he's just gallivanting towards goal. Where did you find him?
What a find. Is it too early to say Simon in the seat? In fact, I will stop myself there because I'll be looking back at that with regret probably. But he's been brilliant so far. Genuinely, as you say, the way he just glides around that pitch, you don't even see him half the times. He just knows exactly where to be. The goal against Newry, he was just found himself in the right place right at the end of that cross. It was brilliant. He's a great watch.
I feel like we're going to dip and dive this podcast. We had a weekend of results. We haven't dipped into Tuesday's proceedings either, but we have to go to Ross. Tell me about Linfield. Both the Reds and the Blues started the season late for other reasons, but you're in the party right now. You've played a couple of games already. You've been doing what the Reds haven't been doing, conceding goals. I guess a big positive from Friday night is that you didn't give the other team two goals that you had to like crawl your way back from. It's positives.
Yeah, it's positives. I think it's definitely not a final product that you see from Linfield this season. I think much in the same as the Reds, haven't really played anyone of note so far. I think Tuesday's huge for both teams. But, you know, as cliche again, as long as you score more goals than the other team, you'll win the league. Like if you win every game 5-4, you'll be all right. But it's definitely a concern. Still no centre backs in to replace the two first choice centre backs that have left the club. Probably not going to happen if you listen to Healy. So in much the same way as Cliftonville, I'm not sure if it's sustainable. But whilst we're on the ride, let's enjoy it. Why not?
Well, you know, somebody has to win this league. I know everybody is waxing lyrical about Crusaders, me included, but they've only played two games. You've had three in the bank. You've only been able to deal with what's in front of you. And something that probably should be addressed is my tweet from Friday, where watching, I'm sure it was maybe 70 minutes of that game at the Ballymena Showgrounds, I decided to share my feelings that I thought Linfield so far looked like the least dynamic team from the top six. They felt stilted. They have a bit of magic with Joel Cooper for sure, but it just didn't seem to be connecting and flowing against a Ballymena team who was down Colin Coates, were down on their luck in regard to results. They've been battered from pillar to post, and they all of a sudden look quite resilient at times against Linfield. Linfield started the game quite well. I thought they were going to run away with it. And then as the game went on, the rain seemed to cause a bit of havoc. And I did chat to a few Linfield fans as the game went on, and worry did start to creep in. Was there at any point in that game, were you thinking, please no?
Yeah, Chris McKee hit the post in the first half, and you're just thinking, is it going to be one of these nights? And then the goal that wasn't, from Kyle McLean, looked to be over the line, not given, then you're definitely thinking maybe this is just ending 0-0. I wouldn't have been surprised if it had been picked off just the way the game was playing out. But I think you're going to get that from Ballymena this season. You know, just looking at it so far, Crusaders only 2-1, Coleraine only 2-1, and then they really frustrated Lorne until Lorne eventually did get that breakthrough. And I feel if we had scored earlier than we did, you maybe would have seen us go on and score 2 or 3. But because it was the 80 odd minute, we didn't have to. We're happy to get the goal and sort of sit back on our lead. It's very early to be saying that's the sort of result the champions grind out. It certainly wasn't free flowing, frustrating, I think was the word of the evening.
You've really needed Chris McKee. We spent a lot of last season going round the merry-go-round talking about what are Linfield going to do up top, and in many ways McKee was the frozen out man. He's coming in and right now he showed glimpses of it near the end of last season. Right now he's earned his place. He says I'm the main man and he is delivering so far. Fitzpatrick hasn't got his feet under the desk properly just yet. Robertson had his somewhat maiden outing there against Ballymena. He'll take time to find himself in this team and find himself playing in this league. I know some people must get frustrated with this podcast where we somewhat obsess over formations, but what is Healy trying to do? What is he trying to do? Because Kirk Miller deep and out wide, and then Cooper trying to pick up the ball slightly deeper. I know he's not playing in the wing back role. I feel like when you're playing against a team like Ballymena, you need to get as many men forward, because Linfield seemed to be trying to pass it out from the back and trying to find long balls. It didn't feel like you were progressing defense to midfield to attack. It was like one ball up, and at times Ballymena were just gobbling everything up.
Yeah, what is David Healy trying to do? I think maybe a guest for next week would be him, see if he can shed some light on. You say we're lumping balls up, and we are, to Chris McKee, who wouldn't be the biggest man in the world, and then John Robertson, who, although he's strong, he's short. So those Ballymena centre halves, it's meat and drink for them. So you mentioned Kirk Miller in wing back. I can't stand that. He's so limited back there. We should be getting him up into the corners, whipping balls in. That's what he's best at. You saw his goal against Dungannon, yet he's just so held back there. And then I personally just love Cooper out on the wing, personally, more than this deeper role he's playing. And I understand that when you're an attacker and you're not getting the ball, you have to drop deep and get it. But it takes him out of the game a wee bit, and then you are left with those two isolated up there. And, you know, maybe when Fitzpatrick comes in on a more permanent basis with probably McKee, maybe he'll turn into more of a hold-up or a target man. But until that happens, I think you're just going to be running into brick walls with this system.
At times, I could clearly see Cooper had the reputation last season and seasons gone by, but after his recent performances, he was being double man marked at times. Like, Ballymena tried to take him completely out of the game, and particularly near the later stages, that's exactly what was happening. It felt like Kyle McLean was the man who was benefiting from that. He was picking up the ball in space. Nothing showcases that quite like the space he was able to make for that long range shot. And I thought it was, as soon as I saw it, I thought it was in. That could have been a huge story if we didn't get the goal. But the goal comes from a pretty sweet breakaway where Chris Shields carry the ball. McKee then gets a bit of space in the box to the right. And it's really well taken of a shot. To say Linfield get out of jail free feels a bit over the top. It's a workmanlike performance. But this is a team where you can see improvement is required, I would say, if they were to avoid similar outings like this where the result doesn't go their way. And I don't know what the answer is, because I'm looking at the bench right now and it's not filled with names. You are missing Fallon. Fitzpatrick's out at the minute. How do you fit all these players in? I still love Finlayson, I must say. I thought he looked really great on the ball. But if something was to happen to Cooper or other players elsewhere, it could feel a bit more difficult. But let's spend a second, because it hasn't been referred to in this podcast. Goal of the season is like a marker. It's like the Top Gear times that you stick on the board and you kind of move it up and down, and then we have a pack. Right now, there's a pack of one, and it is that Joel Cooper goal against Glenavon. That was magic.
Oh, that's going to be tough to beat. I mean, how many players has he beat with such ease? Like, he falls over at the start of it, and he still manages to keep the ball, and then it's even a great finish at the end of it. I can't see it being beaten. That's my personal type of goal of the season. I think screamers from long range, like the Rory Hill one, you know, it's a bit hit and hope. But I think that shows proper skill, and I think you can see Cooper maybe getting a bit of the treatment Conor Mack got last year, you know, people leaving one in on him. So then if that happens, as you say, Kyle McLean was left a wee bit more space, so possibly a huge year ahead for him, just sort of picking passes from that midfield area if he is getting a wee bit more time.
He looked really confident on the ball, and he will need to step up big if Linfield are to keep a continuous charge. We will return to Ballymena later on, and we'll go back to Cliftonville and that game against Carrick. Once again, straight out of the blocks. What is it about this Cliftonville team? Is it intensity at the start of these games? Is it capitalizing on mistakes? How are they getting these early leads and then piling on the pressure and getting more and more? They're out of sight so far in every game by the time 45 minutes is blown up.
Yeah, that's been a really positive thing to see. You know, almost every game so far when we've got the halftime, it's just felt like, well, that's it. We can just pack up now, which, to be fair, I think in those first two games we almost kind of did. You know, in that second half of both games at the start, we weren't looking great. that Clark game, obviously that's the first time we've scored in the second half, and it was a wonder goal. Who I think he'll maybe isn't getting as much praise as he perhaps should. He has looked superb this season. He's possibly just slightly in the shadow of Ben Wilson so far, but like he'll not to be forgotten about. He has been brilliant so far.
He looked terrifying. I just saw for the Wilson goal that he plays along. It's a quick breakaway, and those guard defenders just look on roller skates. They look terrified. He has plenty of the half to carry the ball up, but he looked so determined to make something happen, and he makes that goal, scores one later on. He is brimming with confidence and looks so, so dangerous.
I think that's the thing. We seem to be very sharp. Whatever Jim's been doing, we really do. Everyone looks sharp, looks confident. We all know what each other are at. The way we started games, the passing is sort of similar to what we were doing a few seasons ago. The quick passing, triangles, not afraid to go back. The great thing about the defense is that I've seen so far, they know when to just get rid of it and they know when to try to play it out. There was one issue with Guardside where he was caught in two minds and probably should have led to a goal. We got away with one there. But aside from that, our passing has been brilliant. We've been so quick out from the back, so quick from the start. And I think what's maybe benefited us about not opening with Linfield at the start of the season, we had a wee bit of what you would say is an easier run. Could have been interesting if that first game was Linfield. We didn't start the same way. What way those three fixtures could have went. It's almost a wee bit of a blessing in disguise, I think. Because we're going in Tuesday here, I think, far more confident than if we were playing Linfield on that opening day. However, still, like, I mean, that'll show us where we're at. I'm sitting here laughing, saying that we're looking great, but you do have to just look at the teams we've played and how they've gone on so far. Tuesday's the real benchmark.
It's only the start of the benchmark. I talk about this hellish gauntlet for Ballymena. Your next few games go Linfield away, Larne at home, Glentoran away, and Crews away. That burning fire, that feels like a big pagan dance pit right now. That is solitude. That could be cold water, could be dosed on that, and it could all be over. But you're coming in with confidence. That's what's so interesting about this start of the league so far. Some teams have had a really difficult run. Some teams have had very fortunate runs as well. And that has impacted confidence quite a lot. And then that sets up these games. It places them in a different sphere all of a sudden when you have, it's early doors, but when you know this game goes one way or the other, a gap could emerge or it could be closed. Going down to Linfield away, it is, we've had Larne against Glentoran and we should have had Glentoran against Crusaders over the weekend there. When we have such a strong top six, you will have these games clearly happening all the time. I spoke last week about tone setters for an early part of the season. This will be a tone setter for both these teams. It screams, don't lose. And that happens a lot with these top six encounters, which means it's probably going to be a draw. But starting with you, Ross, going into this big game against Cliftonville, how do you see the Blues approach it? Because this has been Linfield's kryptonite last season. They play it safe in these top six games. And you could understand why David Healy does the same again against Cliftonville. But you only have so many of these games and you somewhat need to act now.
Yeah, it just feels massive for this early in the season. And I agree with Joseph. Like, it wouldn't have mattered half as much if it was the first game of the season, I think. But now that both teams are 100%, it has taken that turn. I really don't know how to set it up. I'd be in two minds. Like, I think any other top six team would maybe go for it a wee bit more because we're at home. But because Cliftonville have scored so many goals and looked so red hot, I think it's hard to go for it and then just let them work away. I'd probably take a point now. But I don't know, because I don't think we have the ability to sit back and soak it up either. So we're sort of damned if we do and damned if we don't. I'd shake a hand on a point now.
Us going away to Windsor, it's not a place we usually tend to win against Linfield, certainly in the league. So it's a bit of a weird one. Going in, obviously, the team on form, a lot more confident. And you know, I am feeling a wee bit confident there, but there is still that sort of looming, just history repeating itself type thing, you know what I mean? So I would also maybe shake Ross's hand there on a draw, to be honest with you.
What people can't see right now is that Joe really wants to say we should be favourites, we should get an early goal and put this game to bed. But you don't want to go there. You're just concerned. You don't want to scud yourself. Like I
The
had,
issue is, Peter, this is recorded.
I had a very fine Coleraine fan on this podcast last week, Damian Mullen. We were talking about how great it was to be top of the league, and disaster came their way in the form of Carrick Rangers. You guys dealt with Carrick Rangers. Coleraine couldn't. You're worried that you're going to say it's all going to be good. I'll be the outsider here. Cliftonville should go here, play the same way that they have, and see what happens. But I can't see Linfield going for it until 70 minutes in. I've watched it too much over the past 18 months to not think Linfield will try and take a chance and then maybe go for it in the last 20 minutes. But that doesn't work. That doesn't work if Hale whacks it out from 35 yards or Ben Wilson sneaks in at the back post from a tasty little
I
cross.
think if it were to get the 70 minutes in, I think you're seeing an even more defensive infield. I think you're seeing Jamie Mulgrew coming on for Chris McKee, and we're just sitting in and taking a point. I just don't think this current Linfield lineup has it in us to really go for it at the minute. And I think if Healy sees a point with 20 minutes to go, I think he takes it. But there's
I
this
think
nagging doubt at the back of my mind where I'm like, we're just going to do them. It's going to be 3 or 4 nil. I hate this.
someone clip that.
So far this season, we have seen teams rise to the occasion and then fall away the next week. Or we've also seen teams who get a bit of a drubbing and then next week they do wonders. And then they go into the week after that and they look very poor again. What do we do with Carrick Rangers? They bring all these signings, they have a fantastic pre-season, and they've played three games themselves. They have an awful time against Newry, and then they bounce back against Coleraine. And then they have a poor day against the Reds. Can you read into this Carrick team, or is Stuart King just going to shout at them every other week and then they're going to perform?
That is obviously not sustainable over a season, like being woeful and then being good and then being woeful again. And you have to feel that if the teacups are being thrown, that that's not going to have an effect post Christmas. Like it'll just be the same pattern over and over again. And you can maybe rule out Cliftonville as just, hey, we lost 4-0 away to home. What can you do? Cliftonville are on fire. But the Newry one would be more concerning long term, but because it's such a small sample size, I wouldn't be worrying too much in that regard. And that Coleraine result, that's huge. But I don't think that they'll be hitting the alarm yet. But if their next run of games, couple next to Crusaders and Linfield away, free hits really. But then the Carrick of last year would have wanted a scalp there, so have they lowered expectations already? But then the run after that, they're playing a lot of the teams around them. That's when we'll really see the real card come out, I think.
When they've been poor, and it is only two games, they have been poor and they have not reacted well to conceding a goal. Not a lot of teams do react well, but I think that'll be the big concern. And perhaps they will relish these chances now against these other teams where they can just go in, not expect to win, and perhaps put the other team under the pressure and get an early goal, a similar way that they did to Coleraine. That's a topsy-turvy start to the season, and I think Stuart King would like to have something feeling a bit more consistent. Let's go to a game that I was at. It was at Moranview Park, Newry City. Go there. It's a place which they probably feel like they could play every week if they could. I think that's 3 wins out of three from the times that they've played them over the past season and a bit. They were well worth their victory. And this puts a lot of pressure on Glenavon, puts a lot of pressure on Gary Hamilton. Glenavon are sitting there, bottom of the league. Newry City have 6 points on them. We'll talk about how Loch All have 6 points on them. Ballymena is sitting there with them on 0 points. but they haven't had the same running that Ballymena have had. Let's just quickly focus on Glenavon. We knew they had a striker problem going into this season. We knew that they hadn't found anybody that was going to replace Fitzpatrick. They were looking within, or they were going to try and find an unearthed gem. So far, it hasn't come to fruition, and they don't know what formation they want to play. But I feel a bit bad for Gary Hamilton right now, because I don't see the investment in that squad. And to see Aaron Prendergast, a teenager who only really came onto the scene last year, trying to battle his way up top by himself, that is not sustainable for a good run, I do not think, in this league.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, it's a tough start to the season in terms of fixtures. You know, you've got Glentoran and Cliftonville in the midfield. Last season, obviously, Fitzpatrick gave the top six teams some issues at times. So, you know, it clearly, as you say, was a big miss, but you could maybe give them a buy in a sense of saying they are tough fixtures. You would have thought Gary would have said, right, nearly here, we really need to, this is where we really get our season started. So I think that loss would have really hit hard. It can't be a very happy camp in there at the moment. But how they are going to replace Fitzpatrick up top, as you say, looking in and have young guys up top, it's tough, especially if you are, you know, 3-1 against Newry. It's not a great result for them.
There's not a load of strikers floating about this league either. Loch Awless jumped in and taken a flyer on Jay Boyd. Young, not proven, but he's jumped up and got a goal already. If I was a Glenavon fan, I'm looking around at somebody completely unproven that may come from one of these mystical lands like England or the League of Ireland. Or you're looking at, what, Alan O'Sullivan, he's just left Portadown. Is Carl Friel healthy? Is there someone that's sitting on one of these top six benches who are looking a bit of time? I feel echoes of that Portadown side last season who had like Jordan Jenkins and another teenager, and I think Oisin Connolly playing for them up there. And we all know how the start of their season went until Niall Curry came in and signed every striker going. Gary Hamilton is a well-experienced coach who is trying to make this work with some very experienced players and then some unproven players. How does this come together? Like, it just seems like a really tough job. And I was there at that game and Glenavon were booed off the pitch. And no doubt fans will be worried. And I can see the discourse online already, similar to what we saw a couple of months ago before their good run for the end of the season, where they're looking elsewhere. That's hitting the red button there.
I think what's maybe also worrying, as I said, you know, they would have been looking at that Newry game going, this is where we get started now. They're now going to Loch Awe, which before the start of the season again, you would have been thinking, right, we're, you know, here's hopefully 3 points. But Loch Awe have actually made a fairly decent start to the season, you know, beating Newry and beating Dungannon. It's not going to be a place that you go and just walk over them, especially if you are in that bottom six.
Which fan base do you feel should be more worried, Ross? Ballymena or Glenavon?
Glenavon. I think Ballymena have real green shoots showing. You know, that's a terrible run to start the season, but they haven't disgraced themselves. Whereas Glenavon, also a terrible run, but haven't looked particularly good. You know, you can argue that you're seconds away from a point against the Glens. You know, you're never really out of it against Linfield, but where are the goals coming from to capitalise on these close games? It just feels like Ballymena did business in, you know, bringing McMurray in to replace McDade, but Glenavon have sort of missed the boat on a Fitzpatrick replacement. You know, Devines went on loan to Dungannon, Cushney from the Glens went on loan to Bangor. It's tough to see where this striker is coming from, and obviously it's tougher to attract players from over the water when you're not full time, like Glenavon aren't. So I don't know, and there doesn't seem to be a real hunger to invest from the board. So it's tough to see any light at the end of this tunnel from Glenavon. You know, their next run of fixtures, next four are teams in and around them. But if you told me they lost all four of them as well, I wouldn't be surprised.
That is the thing. Lock all away on a Friday night, lock all the team in a set and see. They are the team that looks like they have a lot more attacking flair and threat. They're coming off the back of taking care of business against Dungannon away. Glenavon will feel like Linfield going into that Tuesday night game. They'll think, please don't lose this. And oftentimes that's a defeatist mentality going in. I'm not saying that's the way Glenavon will be thinking, but losing that game gives Loch Awe a 9-point cushion over them. That's huge. And then here comes Ballymena, who might be sitting there with them on equal points. Again, pressure not to lose. Dungannon, Carrick. They're all high-stakes games, which have more on the line than just 3 points and other teams building on theirs. These games give huge swings to the other teams if you don't get them. So they are sitting in a pressure cooker. That's one thing about this Glenavon side. They are in a pressure cooker right now, and you've got to feel like this is one of the more tougher moments of Gary Hamilton's managerial career. I'm not doubting him at all, but I think he knows that he's got four games where he's going to be under the cosh, and there's going to be a spotlight on him and his team. Let's quickly put the spotlight on Newry City. What I saw was a team that looks like they're finding their rhythm a bit more. That first day against Loch Awe looks to have been put out of their mind to a certain extent. And this is a team compared to Glenavon, and you would categorise Newry as a team that first want to get themselves in a place where they look like they're not going to get dragged down in a relegation fight. They're probably going to be fighting around that area the whole season. But they have exactly what Glenavon don't. They have attacking threats. Logan Ford started the season really well. He does it all himself to score that first goal. And then they're able to pick up a bit of luck. A good little fight from young Jordan Mooney to nip it over to Adam Sally. And Adam Carroll looks like he's got a bit of attacking threat. John McGovern still to come in. I actually thought a forgotten player in this league, Kieran O'Connor, was pulling the strings there. So if they can keep it solid at the back, which they seem to do in that game, they will be in these games against teams around them like Loch Awe in the future, Ballymena and Glenavon. And I thought, you know what, this team looks a lot more solid than I potentially thought they might have been.
I think they'll be licking their lips a wee bit, seeing other teams around them, how they're getting on. But they seem real assured against the teams around them, or obviously that freak against Loch Awe. But then you saw last year, they often struggle at home just because of that pitch. And then, you know, they've went away to Carrick and away to Glenavon, and they've picked up two great results there. So I think Newry are in a good place. And I think if we're talking this time April, I think they'll be sort of in a mid-table paradise, not really pushing for Europe, obviously, but definitely not fighting the drop either.
I do want to say Glenavon do have good players. Malone is an underrated central attacking player that they have. Conor McCluskey looked sparky. Peter Campbell always gets goals, and when he gets on the ball, he can create something. And they have a back line who have been solid in previous days, and perhaps they're just a wee bit behind on their preseason preparations. When I'm talking about Danny Walls and Callum Burney, it's just, if we look at Portadown being this absolute disaster case that we saw last season, despite that being a team that was kind of thrown together, their lack of goals is really their downfall at the start of the season. And a final note, I'll say, not only do you have that gauntlet of Loch Awe, Ballymena, Swifts and Carrick, after that you then go away to the Crews, home to Larne, away to Coleraine, home to Cliftonville, home to Glentoran again. So you have four chances, and then you've got five toughies again. They got points against the top six, but it just feels like every week we could see that burner getting turned up to another bit of heat. So Glenavon are definitely a story, and they're definitely a team that we'll all have our eyes on moving forward. To return to Ballymena, there is talk that there's going to be a couple of signings coming in this week. unconfirmed, so we'll keep our eyes on that. It's a team that could probably do with a few bodies, and they probably have a similar thing issue-wise where if it isn't Johnny McMurray, what's it going to be? Kenny Kane leaves them. They still have Jordan Gibson to find his way into that team and do things as well, but it's just so hard to say anything about Ballymena because they haven't faced against competition where they're expected to.
I agree. It's tough to really gauge where they're at. Even, I mean, that's the first time I've seen them this season against Linfield, and it was a horrible night in terms of wind and rain. Both teams just sort of lumping the ball at times. It wasn't a very good watch. So it'd be interesting to see in a few games time just sort of where they are actually sitting once they get settled a wee bit more. It's obviously not a great start, as you say, but it's also, they're yet to really play someone that you could say, yeah, that C is against them, you know.
Continuing on with our theme of early days, 6-pointers. Lock goal, go down to Stagmore Park. People are looking at the Gannon and thinking, you know what? They've had a couple of tough fixtures, but they've shown a really good account themselves. Lock goal, go into that game and have no fear. They play exactly the same way as they have pretty much against every team they have done so far. They play it from the back. They've got nice little passing in the middle. And they have players who can stick it in the back of the net up top. That's another goal for Ferris. His first one from open play. Jay Boyd, I thought he took that goal so well. It's one big ball from deep. But he just completely did one on Dean Curry and smashes it in the back. And they're stepping up into these games and getting the points. And I'll say it again, they have got 6 points more than Ballymena and Glenavon. They have to crawl them back. And it seems silly to talk about that this early, but we all saw how teams like Dungannon and Portadown just felt like they were behind the eight ball from game zero.
Yeah, you could have seen that from lock goal. You know, teams coming up that have played nice football, they can struggle if they face a better team. But, you know, they dismantled Newry on that opening day. And then they look real good against Dungannon as well. And as you say, you know, half the battle when you're down there is having someone who can stick the ball in the onion bag. And Ferris seems to be doing an all right job of it. And Jay Boyd to be scoring on debut, you know, it's not a bad start. I think lock goal will be looking, you could be flirting with that seventh place, hoping for a playoff. Maybe that's their wildest dreams, but you know, judging off the start they've had and the football they're playing, I don't see why not. Like, it seems like everybody else down there is sort of struggling. We've sort of seen the league split into its top six and its bottom six already. So, you know, if they can win that mini league, why not? They'll be saying
they will just try and create as much space as possible. But we've seen as we go along, it's these games which decide your fate, and Dungannon will just be furious that they let Lough Gall get an early lead. Newry did similar. They let Lough Gall get an early lead. And from there, they were chasing. And Lough Gall capitalised. They're looking super solid at the back right now. And they just have this confidence. And they'll want to keep that going, which just makes that Glenavon game even more scarier for the Lurgan Blues. You know, that could really set them up nicely. We've seen in previous years how Carrick and Newry get off to a good confident start, and that has been a nice little buffer that they've been able to do. For Dungannon, unfortunately, you're going to have to just take this on the nose and move on, but they don't have the luxury, as much as they're getting their plaudits, they don't have the luxury to let a few more of these goes. They've somewhat given one of their lives away over the weekend, and they can't be doing that against teams in the bottom six, or they will be in this relegation mire for potentially all of the season.
Yeah, I think that's what Rodney, that's the job he has ahead of him, of saying, lads, we're playing some decent football at times. You could argue unlucky at times, so keep that confidence. You know, the results will come, but as you say, there's only so long. I know it is a long season, but there's only so many chances that you can miss out on before it starts to become just a losing battle that you can't get back.
The Swifts will march on. Final game of the week to talk about. Corey nil, Lar nil, top six sides going against each other, tactical battle, yada, 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 yada. Can't see each other out. Didn't really work out. Oh, come on, guys. I want fireworks and action. And this had zero of those things.
Yeah, I think that could maybe be the theme of Big Six matches this year. Just as you said earlier, scared to lose. So we'll not even go for it. Both teams had a few chances, I suppose. And, you know, that Ives red card, I just can't believe it, personally. I think that was the softest yellow card I've ever seen. But I don't think that had much bearing on the game. If anything, it probably pushed it further towards a 0-0. But maybe Corrine will be disappointed, you know, not being able to push on there at home. But I think Lorne would have taken a point beforehand. They seem fine, you know.
I know Lorne don't have a reputation for being this thrilling side that tears teams apart. I often look at Lorne and I think of the exciting moments. It's because of a Ryan or a Bonus doing wonderful things up top on their own, and they often pressure and they crush teams into submission, and Coleraine stood up to that. So you've got to give Coleraine credit for that task, but they are at home. And they never looked like they were going. You have these thrilling players and Scott and Lynch and McKendry, and they didn't look like they took it to Lorne in the same way. They'll be happier with the point than Lorne are. So they've done one thing right in dealing with those attackers. But we keep saying with Coleraine, when are they going to break away and push on and get these points against the top sides? Because if they don't, they'll be at the bottom. The pressure is off. We're not panicking just yet. You don't have to do it right now. Clearly a point is great, etc., etc. But this, nothing has changed in regards to what Corrine do in these big games. And until they start doing it, particularly at home, it's hard to consider them as anybody that's going to rock the apple cart at the tippy top of the table.
Yeah, I have to agree with you completely. I mean, looking at their start to the season, the thing with Lorne coming to them, that first, you were saying about Lorne sort of taking teams apart. It felt like in the first game of the season against Dungannon that they did. And obviously Dungannon came back with a great comeback in the end. I don't know if that, I mean, I think Lorne are fine, but I just wonder if that has slightly knocked their confidence, in a sense of those games last year, those nil-nils where teams aren't breaking away against Lorne, they tended to find a goal at the end. And I'd just be interested to see what sort of way Lorne kick on over the next few games, if they are going to sort of get their confidence back as such. As I say, I don't think they are in trouble, and I think they will. But I just wonder if Coleraine will be kicking themselves, in a sense of they would have taken a draw going into the game, but will the coming out of the game, do they think they could have got more?
I think you'll definitely not see the same Lorne this year. I think you'd see sort of a Linfield from last year. I think Europe has really knocked the stuffing out of them a wee bit. Everybody's saying it. It's a team that's not used to getting beat at all. And, you know, they've got a couple of Hines off Balcani. You know, looking at their results so far, that collapse against Dungannon, they beat a very poor Glentoran team who had a goal wrongly or rightly disallowed for offside. They were real frustrated against Ballymena for a while, and then eventually broke through, obviously. But then they've got this frustrating result as well. It's so early in the season to say it, obviously, but like, it looks like there is a wee bit of a European hangover developing. But hey, they could turn around and beat Cliftonville on Saturday, you know, 3 or 4 nil, and we'll forget I ever said that.
They're definitely on simmer, aren't they? To go back to my little stove analogy here, they're on simmer. But that's okay, because they've been up near the top end of the table. I know it's where it is, but it's not like they're floundering just yet. But I think you've hit exactly upon something, exactly what I'm feeling. There's no panic stations for either of these teams. And Lorne did do something similar where they never thrilled at any point last season. But potentially a shock result is coming, and that might sum up what we've seen so far. They've got the players. They've got attacking threats. But right now, it feels like some teams are nullifying that better than they did last season. And do they have the trickery? And do they have the ability to change it up so that when people match them and try and nullify these threats, can they win in another way? We'll have to see. We talked about it on the podcast last week, and we have a D-Day for this Coleraine takeover. It looks as though it's going to go to a vote, and it's going to go to a vote at an AGM by the end of this month. I know you guys aren't close to the source. You've got no new information. If you want to hear a bit more about what was happening before some of the meetings that happened last week, go back to last week's podcast when I talked to Damien Mullen from the Coleraine Chronicle. But fellas, can you imagine if there was to be another team with a bit of cash? You guys are both with, you're both followers. You guys are both followers of teams who don't have a big financier coming in behind them. Do you think if you were in a similar position, you would welcome, every club's in their own unique position, but do you think if you were in the shoes of Coleraine, you would think, let's give it a go?
It's tempting, isn't it?
Yeah, especially I think as a club, I mean, you sort of alluded to it a bit back there, Peter, where it's almost the same story again this season for Coleraine. So, you know, if you are a Coleraine fan, you're thinking this is our opportunity to sort of break through and break the cycle of the same season.
It's one of those things where any takeover or club brings some aspects of risk, and we all haven't seen the details, but it will be an interesting moment where 2 weeks from now, we could have a very different outlook for this Coleraine team and this Coleraine side. So we will all keep our eyes on that. Talking about money, we didn't have a battle between Crusaders and Glentoran on the pitch, but boy, did we have a little scuffle off of it. It was reported from an interview that Stephen Baxter was somewhat little poking, little minor jab towards Glentoran, saying about their spending and that they may have inflated costs of wages and of transfer fees across the league. Warren Feeney has snapped back and say, hey boys, you've spent a bit of money on players, both wages and fees before. Fair comment from a Mr. Stephen Baxter, or it is the kettle calling the pot black?
I think it's definitely a fair comment, but there is a wee bit of an element of Stephen Baxter being in a glass house and throwing stones. You know, like, I think the standout is Glentoran giving Balamine $100k for Shea McCartan. I think that's what really exploded this whole market. Look, if you value him at that or not, that's a different discussion. But it's a crazy amount of money for one of the, you know, part-time clubs to be paying. And you've even seen in recent years, like, you know, even Linfield can't afford to get into bid wars for players like Lee Bonus when he was even poured down, and even Davy McDade, he couldn't get involved with that. So I think just the whole league changed now. It is a money game, and Glentoran, I would say, are definitely the biggest culprits of that. I would say that, obviously. But I think Stephen Baxter made a good point. He perhaps just was not the one to take it.
Crazy money is what he said. I don't know. I often think it ain't my money, it ain't a club's money. You spend it the way you go, whatever way you want to spend it, you do that. I always feel like I'm pro player, and if a certain player gets a bit of a bidding war for their services and they sneak a bit of money, go you. Get your cash, get your bag, as they say. Crusaders, the McGonagall transfer is the one that people always point to. They went and put themselves on a risk. But like anything in football at this level, it's always going to be a risk. Every single player you sign on any type of wage is taking some sort of finances from your club. And I often wonder, we'll not know that we've hit a peak or we've hit the absolute top until a few years behind, but I know a few years ago, I never thought we would get close. We never saw transfer fees yet, 100,000. But then there's McMenamin scoring goals, setting up goals in the top flight of Scottish football, and he's away for that money and more. So we might be a little bit of a bubble here.
Yes, it's very possible. You know, but then there's the argument, as long as the clubs keep churning out players like that, you know, your Sean Moores, a few from the Linfield Academy went across the water, then you have to think that the spending will probably keep up. And then it'll get to the point where if you're, you know, your Cliftonvilles, your Coleraines, maybe even your Linfields want to push on, they're going to have to match that spending. So they'll have to sell their best strikers and or players in general. And as the league goes more towards a full-time, part-time split, it's harder to, you know, Linfield couldn't convince Jimmy Callagher to go full-time for another year because he had his own job. So, you know, your Glenn Torrens can step in and offer a player a bit more to go full-time, whereas, you know, not played in poverty, obviously, but Linfield can't afford to do that.
You never know. We're just going to have to see if the Saudis come in for Jamie Mulgrew. That's sometimes the half the deals that we'll have to sit tight on. We still do have the guts of 10 days left of this transfer window, so I'm intrigued to see what moves happen because last season we had a very interesting final day of the transfer window, so we'll sit tight on that. But final moment, this is something that comes up this podcast all the time. I know it was Storm Betty to blame, but we had a match cancellation due to weather in August. Fellas, what is going on?
We should move to a summer league and that wouldn't happen. That'll be okay.
I'm starting a spreadsheet. I'm seriously starting a spreadsheet, and I'm going to mark down every game that gets cancelled, when and why. Look, the pitchers were pretty ropey, let's just say. The pitch doesn't look great. I don't know about the logistics when it comes to drainage and water planes here, there, everywhere. But that's tough watching. To look at that game and go, that was a big game, we were all ready for it, and now it's probably going to be moved to a quiet Tuesday where it's not going to have the same attention, perhaps, we don't know. And that also makes, we see clubs complaining about the lack of media and lack of interest, and they want more fees and they want deals and stuff like that. It's, imagine the knock, imagine that was penciled in for Sky Sports, or that was penciled in for a certain broadcaster, and then it's cancelled due to the weather. This is not an anomaly anymore. And clearly a summer league is not a catch-all fix-it, because here we are in August. So this may be just a storm happens, that's the way it is. But we do have to think, if we are looking to progress, and I don't know if it's just surface or if it's investment in different technology when it comes to pitches, but I think we're all getting a wee bit weary of these cancellations.
Yeah, it does. It feels a bit sort of amateur in a sense as well for our top league and a team like Glentoran as well, for the pitch to be in that standard. I mean, other matches went ahead that day. It wasn't like it was just that one that was cancelled. And as you say, is it just investment that's needed to stop that type of thing? If you are asking for more publicity, and, you know, as you say, if the match was on Sky, it'd be shocking for it to be called off or something like that. I think, you know, when considering other matches went ahead, it is clearly preventable.
We have a couple of games that are scheduled to happen over the next week. If they happen, we don't know. We're in the lap of the gods now. But we're going to talk about them, and we're going to make predictions, because we are strong-willed here and we all have to stand by whatever predictions we may do. Some people predicted Cliftonville might not finish in the top six, and those people will just have to sit and wait and take that bitter pill if it comes. But there's still 29 games before the split, so we'll reserve our judgment till then. This week, we'll start on Tuesday. This game might already be in your rearview mirror. We talked about it. Linfield host Cliftonville. I'm going to say it straight away. I think this is a draw. maybe a 1-1 to get a bit of excitement, but I think this is 0-0. I do.
I could see a draw, but I can't see a 0-0. I can't see Linfield keeping a clean sheet against this Cliftonville team. I said earlier that I can't see a Linfield win, but now I'm like convincing myself I can. So I'm gonna say 3-2 Linfield.
You know what, Peter, you instilled me with confidence earlier about not just, I wanted to say it earlier and I will say it now. I don't see us keeping a clean sheet. I don't think we'll continue that run on. But I think we'll do it. I'm going to say 3-1.
There's a small thing in the back of my head that says this could be the Glentoran October game where the goal comes and you run away with it at Windsor Park. But we have yet to see Linfield deal with a big team at Windsor Park, so I'm going to stick around. I hope this is an exciting game, and if there is a couple of goals, this could be a thriller early doors, and that's what's fun about this league. Only 12 teams, these big games come thick and fast. We'll see how that goes down. Crusaders complete the leftover fixtures from game week one. They host Carrick Rangers. They're the team that I've been excited about. Other people are excited about. I must admit, this feels like a banana skin, which if they're to regress back to what they did last season, that they end this with a draw or a shocking defeat because Carrick Rangers come out of here. They've had a break. They're rested after the weekend. Crusaders, I think they'll get an early goal and they'll put this to bed. I think this could be a 3-1.
Yeah, I think it could be a handy enough win for Crusaders. I just don't think Carrick have shown enough so far this season, whereas Crusaders are looking great. So I think, yeah, Crusaders by a couple of goals.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I was thinking 4-0 as soon as you said that. I think it's going to be a bit of a walkover, to be honest.
It's just that Seaview pitch. They were undeniable on it last season, and you have to feel as though we haven't seen a huge portfolio to say that they will be. But they've got the team, they've got the players, and this will just be another tick exercise for them if they can get ahead early, I would say. Ballymena continue this devilish run that they have fixture-wise. Glentoran come to town. It's a Friday night. There's three games on Friday night. Maybe Ballymena are getting used to playing these big teams. Glentoran clearly have a goal-scoring issue, perhaps difficulty for sure. If Ballymena can frustrate Glentoran in the same way that they did with Linfield, Glentoran will have to put something together to get that goal. And as we saw against Linfield, the longer it goes on, the more panicked Linfield look, and I'm sure Glentoran will feel the same. I actually think this could be a sneaky draw, but that's only based on I haven't seen Glentoran step up to the mark just yet.
I have to agree. For me, that's got a 0-0 written all over it, to be honest.
I think if Glentoran score in the first half, it'll be a thumping. But if they don't, then I could see, I can maybe even see Ballymena snatching a win. But I'm leaning Glentoran big win. Yeah, I think so.
A big win. They got out of Lakeview Park with a nice little 1-0. Will Glenavon be getting out of Lakeview Park with anything? They go down to the hot hand and lock all. We talked about it a bit earlier in the podcast. This could be huge for the short-term fortunes of Glenavon. This has not been a very kind fixture to Glenavon. I think they lost them potentially twice in the cup. Don't quote me on that. But they have not enjoyed playing lock all over the past few years when they haven't been in the same league. Now they are in the same league. Will they be able to use all the experience that they have to grind out a win? I like this lock-all team at the minute. I feel like I'm going to back them in moments like this. And I think I'm going to do it again. I think it's going to be a very throw-down, like, hard-to-watch game. Like, I cannot describe how difficult to watch the first 30 minutes of that Glenavon Uri game. I mean, I was reporting on it, I was writing notes, I've got my book in front of me, and I mean, I have nothing of note in the first 30 minutes. I don't think we even had a shot off target, yet anything you would consider a shot on target. So I can see a very similar game. I have no notion what formation or what way Gary Hamilton would set this up. I can see this to be a draw where no one gets a goal, but I can see Loughall getting a sneaky wee goal and Glenavon not being able to crawl back.
I have this one as 1-1. I think Loughall yet to win at home. Obviously, two tricky fixtures they've had, but maybe there's something happening there. I just think Glenavon will get a little something just because they have to.
That's exactly what I was about to say there. I was going the other way from you, Peter, where Loughall haven't yet won at home, and I thought Gary needs something at this point. Like, they're going to be coming into really fighting down there, so I could see either just snatching a 1-0, maybe 2-0 for Glenavon.
Or it's going to be a 6-goal thriller. We'll all have to see. Dungannon also want to get some serious points on the board. Coleraine coming to their patch has not been a fixture where it's bared a lot of 3-point-sized fruit. Will they go one further this time and get something out of this game? Coleraine go to Carrick and they aren't able to get the points. Could you see something similar here, or will they get the goals to secure a win?
Yeah, I think they'll secure it this time round. I think this will... They'll bounce off last week. I think I see it as 2-1, Coleraine.
I fancy a Coleraine win as well. I think the Carrick game will be the kick up the backside they needed against the smaller teams. And then, you know, you can take your positives from the Lorne game at the weekend there. So, I fancy Coleraine.
Significant questions right now around Shevlin, not just for us, dear poor fantasy owners. We've all rested him out of our team, at least in the NFL Premiership version of the game. He's been out since that first game against Ballymena. We've had a number of deputies, Daisby starting. You've seen Mitchell, you've seen other players jump in. They'll not want him to be out for much longer because he is oftentimes the player that makes the difference. If Dungannon makes this tight, makes this difficult, he's often the type of player that can steal a yard and get a goal. Talk is that it seems to be a bit of an ankle, a bit of a foot issue, and that he's just finding a bit of soreness and finding uncomfortable when he puts on a boot. The sooner they get him back, the better.
Definitely, like top scorer last year, and I think sort of flew under the radar in being the top scorer. And he was, especially at the start of the season, he was getting Coleraine results on his own. So, you know, good to see Andrew Mitchell scoring after so long last Friday, but I think the Vansiders will want him back in the fold as soon as possible.
We go to Saturday. Linfield host Carrick Rangers. Regardless of the result for either team on Tuesday night, you've got to feel as though Linfield will do the business against Carrick at home on that big pitch.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. You'd be hoping for a pretty comfortable win there. There's always, you know, that Carrick result at the start of last season sort of plays on my mind, but, you know, that was the Taylor's Avenue, so hopefully not as likely this time. So yeah, I'd fancy us to win maybe 2 or 3-0.
Yeah, I was thinking a fairly comfortable result for Linfield. It could be the first real thrashing that they dish out this season, I think.
They have been able to score. I have joked about them conceding a fair amount, and I can talk about not looking particularly dynamic, but they've been able to pull the goals out through players really dragging themselves up and showing the quality that they have. I am talking about Miller, I am talking about Cooper, and I think they'll be able to wear this Carrick Rangers team down. And it's just a difficult run for Stuart King's men, and I think Linfield will get a multi-goal win there. And it's exactly the type of result which Crusaders will want going down to Newry City. This feels like the type of game, I talked about it in the Carrick fixture, where particularly away from home, where they come out of this game 1-1 or 0-0 on the form that we've seen so far, and it's limited, you would have to say that they don't look like they are going to falter. But Newry have surprised people in the past. I think Murray actually will score, but I do think this will be a 2-1 to Crusaders. They'll want to make this as easy as possible and as early as possible out of sight, I imagine, if you're a Cruise fan.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a very thrilling game to watch, to be honest. I could see, as you say, like a 2-1, maybe even like a 1-1 draw. But I don't think it would be a spectacle.
Yeah, I think I'm totally with you, Peter. Early goal for Crusaders and then just then sort of see it out for the rest of the time, control it, maybe get one late on. But yeah, I can only see a Crusaders win there.
And to finish off, a huge week for Cliftonville. We'll talk about this week, I think, for months from now. Whatever result at Windsor Park they get, we don't know. But they then go back home to Solitude. They host Larne. It's another big game. It's another temperature marker for both teams in this situation. I just really like Cliftonville in this game, regardless of what happens against Linfield. I really, really, really like Cliftonville in this. I think they will either be feeling boisterous from the win against Linfield, or they'll want to bounce back from a result where they haven't won against Linfield. And I think Jim will just go, boys, let's do what we do and let's blitz them. And I don't think Larne like that at all.
No, I have to agree. I think there's no negatives that come out of this game on Tuesday. I don't see it going that way. So it's either we're going in with even more confidence there against Larne, or we're, as you say, make it up for a result. But I think it'll be actually a really good game. I think it'll be tight enough, and I could see 2-1, maybe 3-1.
Yeah, I've just got a feeling for Cliftonville as well in that game. I just think they're just looking so good against a maybe possibly shaky Larne. And then it's going to be a Larne who, you know, I think Want went off injured, Cosgrove went off injured at the weekend there. I don't know if Ives will be back. So it remains to be seen, but I think that could be a good Cliftonville going up against a shaky Larne. And I could see a handy enough win for Cliftonville.
People who have been listening to this podcast this season know that I have made bold statements and they have actually come off sometimes, as much as it's not looking great for my early doors Cliftonville prediction. But I'm being genuine with this. I thought about this. I'm going to say 4-1 Cliftonville. I think for all the reasons you said, I think Larne are down a couple of players, particularly at the back. Cliftonville will start early. Larne will then chase the game. And we've saw so far this season that Cliftonville can counter. They can counter well. They're playing at home. I'm not going to say it's going to be 3-0 within the first 20 minutes. But I think particularly at on, they could really add punishment and they could rack up the score there. And it could be, as we somewhat alluded to earlier, this could be the marker where everyone's looking around going, oh, Larne aren't the same Larne as last season and they've got a bit of issues. Or it's a 0-0. But I'm going to be bold and think actually Cliftonville could score a few. Could you imagine, Mr. McCallion, a situation where, look, you could be sitting here at 9 points the next time I'm chatting somebody else in this podcast, but if by next week, by the end of play on Saturday night, you're lining up, enjoying your big bank holiday Monday, with your team sitting atop of the league with 15 points, are you starting to think about a title run?
Well, it's a long season, Peter, isn't it? I mean, we all saw Glenn Thorin last season as well, around this time where they were looking absolutely brilliant. And then God knows what happened in between that and the end of the season. But there's definitely going to be a lot of confidence and a lot, there already is. I mean, I'm feeling good. I don't want to say too much because, you know, there's still these next three games to get through. But if we get through these next three, they all go well. I mean, at that point, it feels almost like it's on us in a sense. You know, we need to keep driving at that point.
At that point, you're on this podcast every other week.
Yeah, it'd be busy for me.
They absolutely are. Ross, when are you going to start getting a bit confident about this team? Do you think it's about perhaps rope-a-doping, doing what Linfield always do, stick around and then stick on the burners come February?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, if Cliftonville win their next load of games and they're on 15 points or whatever, they look over their shoulder and Linfield are still only three behind them. if they beat Carrick. So, you know, there's a reason why Linfield get tipped to win the league every year, no matter what. And it's just because they've been there, they've done it before. They're just giants. So I'm sort of quietly confident that we'll sort of hang in around there. And just see, as I've been sitting here, I'm just more and more convinced that we're going to beat Cliftonville, which is just terrible for Wednesday morning. But what can you do?
Reaction Twitter space incoming. I'm joking, of course. Fellas, once again, a delight to have you on. It's been fun this season, where I feel like usually I'm like booking guests quite far in advance and they're coming in going, yeah, lost again. But this time round, I'm booking it a bit more on the fly, which is nice, which is great, because then I get to have these podcasts where come in to play on Saturday, I was like, we have to chat the Blues, we have to chat about the Reds, and you guys bring such a brilliant combo. So thank you so much for joining in. I know a lot of people, you are one of their favorites to have on, so it's great to have you on once again. Of course, you are fine individuals, but you are united under the banner of Around the Grounds NI. If you just happen to be one of the newbies that have just joined the, I don't have a name for people who listen to this podcast just yet, but a part of the Kick and Match crew, and you don't know who these people are, where can they find the things that you do, and what do you do on Around the Grounds NI?
So we basically just go around the grounds and sort of video our experiences and then rate them, you know, how are the facilities, what's the value like, how's the game. So yeah, we just sort of do that. We think we do an all right job of it. So, you know, would recommend you give it a watch and decide for yourselves. So we're at Around the Grounds NI on TikTok and Instagram, and then we are AT Grounds NI on Twitter or X or whatever it's called.
And for your own personal musings, I always ask, how can they find you on the website formerly known as Twitter?
So I am Ross Welsh 8 on everything.
And Joe, are you going to get the right one out this time?
I've got it up, Peter. I've got it ready this time. It's in fact, I'll really go into it. Joseph _ McCallion, JOSEF. I'm just being out there with it on Twitter. And the same with the 24 at the end on Insta.
Tremendous. Final question for you both. When these big games happen, some of us will be watching it on TV. Do you guys like go into each other's little home end and whisper to each other, or do you split off to the far reaches of each ground and then meet at the end and give each other pelters?
Well, for Reds Blues matches, there's no way fans unless you have a season ticket. So we're a wee bit snookered because we play football, so we don't have season tickets. So one of us is always sitting on our hands. There was when the Blues were going for the league 2 years ago, and Devine scored that equaliser at Solitude. That was a tough one. That was a tough one. Just stand still. Left pretty pronto after that.
Oh, it's tough for us both, like, but it does happen, unfortunately. I've had to
fantastic
sit in my hands far too many times, and hopefully I'll be doing the same come Tuesday.
Tremendous. I just imagine a wonderful little date that you guys will be going on Tuesday and games in the future. Fellas, been a delight as always. Until next time, chat to you soon.
Thanks for having us, Peter.
Okay, shall we address it now? Yes, let's do that. I can see you, Cliftonville fans. I know that you're sitting looking very proud. I know you didn't take it that thick. Somebody didn't take it that thick, my prediction, and that's all it was. It was a mere forecast, and yes, it's not looking particularly great, but it's not about me doing well. It's clearly about you enjoying the Irish League and feeling very happy. So yes, I know that between now and the end of the season, you will revel in any of the seemingly very clear success your team is going to have. I never wished you on will or bad will. I did not do any of that. I just forecast seemingly very wrongly. I did have Cliftonville fans who said you're absolutely right. So just remember those people who tweeted me that privately or said to me, you were like, I think you're right about this, Peter. You didn't stick your neck on the line. I did. Fun podcast. Nice to get a nice little triple threat, as I call it, in. Thanks for joining in. It's been a brilliant start to the season so far, so there seems to be plenty of new people. So hello, if you're new, welcome in. I hope you're keeping well. You know by now, if you get to this point of the podcast, that I am telling you that if you like it, you should subscribe or should follow. There's been a couple of new followers as well. Do it on Spotify. I'm sure there's a way of doing it on Apple Music. I don't use it, I'm sorry. But you can also use your smart speaker and say, hey, smart speaker, please play Kicking Match, an Irish League podcast, or whatever name you have it. I don't know. Lots of games. Looking forward to seeing them. If you've got any thoughts or feelings or ambitions, give me a shout. And I'm no longer first in fancy football anymore. Sad. Oh, well. Till next time. See you next week, fam. Cheers.